This morning, I want to deal with something that kind of started with it last week, and I think it's good for us to understand some things. And I call this Baptist distinctives, many people do, and we're going to look at some of the things that distinguish us from other religions, from other denominations, and so forth. And the things that we will look at here this morning does not mean that there are other people who don't believe in some of these things, but if they believe in all of these, they're probably Baptists. And I don't normally say a great deal about that term, but maybe I should, I don't know. But I want us to look at this morning an acrostic. An acrostic is you take a word and then you will fill in the blank, so to speak. So the B in Baptist stands for biblical authority above everything else. That's one of the distinctives of Baptist, biblical authority. We're going to deal with that at length this morning. The A stands for the autonomy of the local church. Say, what in the world do you mean by autonomy? It simply means that as a local church, we are accountable to the Lord. And the governing of the local church resides within itself. In other words, it's self-governing or autonomous. We don't have any headquarters other than heaven. Somebody said, well, where's your headquarters? I'm not even sure where my hindquarters are some days. But seriously, the local church, we're responsible to the Lord. And so we're basically our own authority in all of those things. The P stands for the priesthood of the believer, a marvelous distinctive. Every man, every woman, every person may enter in to the presence of God in prayer. You don't have to go through somebody. You can have somebody else pray for you if you so feel the need. But seriously, you have the avenue into the presence of God. And he's the great high priest, and really we are priests ourselves. That means we can enter his presence. That's not always been so, but that certainly is since the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. So we have that marvelous privilege. The T in Baptist stands for two ordinances that are practiced. And those two ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. I want us to think of one thing particularly here. There's a difference between a ordinance and a sacrament. Some people call some of these things sacraments. A sacrament is something that you do to gain the favor of God. In other words, to get saved. And listen, that was done through Christ, amen? And you and I, our salvation doesn't rest upon what we do. And so they're ordinances. They are basically an ordinance is what a law that has been given to us, and God wants us to baptize people. Part of the Great Commission was what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, of course, also we believe in practicing of the Lord's Supper. By the way, one reason that we look at these as ordinances is because to some degree they were practiced by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were practiced in the book of Acts, and they were also spoken of in the epistles and given instructions concerning them. The next one is I, and it's what we dealt with a week ago, basically, individual soul liberty. And basically that means no man can be forced to believe something. We cannot force people to believe something. It must be of our own free will. That's why when it comes to the matter of salvation, it's whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it's a matter of our will. It's a matter that we do something because it's within us. One of the great things that happened in my life as I was raising my children was the spot where we came to where the things of God became their own. By the way, there's a lot of times a period of rebellion in between the time nonetheless, there came that spot where it became their own. It wasn't a matter Dad said to. It was a matter that they understood it from God. And so it was a matter of their own free will. That was an exciting day when I saw that take place very dramatically with a couple of my children. The Aston Baptist means saved, baptized membership. To be a part of a local church, one must be saved. That's just very simple. What is a local church? It's an assembly of believers. And so they need to be saved. We find from Scripture as well that after they were saved and baptized in the book of Acts, they were what? Added to the church. And so I believe those are the two qualifications and the only requirements biblically for membership. Now, a local church might, of its own will, some of them do this before somebody's baptized. They will take them through a series of lessons that they might understand everything that's going on. But that's something that local church has deemed and not from the Word of God. We find also the T stands for two offices that are mentioned in the Word of God, that of pastor and deacon. Now, there are other offices that churches establish within their congregation. And most churches have a secretary, a treasurer. Maybe there are two different people, maybe the same one, whatever. But there's two offices. And the last one is S. And this was really fairly sacred to us. It is the separation of the powers of church and state. Neither can make laws to govern the other. That is a belief that you and I hold. Matter of fact, if we were to go back to the early days of our nation before the Constitution was written, you will find that there was a group of Baptists who believed in that so strong that it began to popularize amongst the people and really became a part of our Constitution. By the way, our Constitution does not say those words exactly. Matter of fact, it says, Congress shall make no laws concerning the establishment of a church or the exercise. So really what it is tying their hands. And last year when there were these orders saying you got to stay home, a few churches were open. Matter of fact, a large one out in California, and they told them they can't. They still did. They got hit with a big lawsuit, and the church won that lawsuit. This week, I found this interesting. This week, the state of California had to pay $800,000 for their legal fees for the church. Praise the Lord. That's a very rare thing to take place. So we're going to look at biblical authority. It's a very important issue. And there are many who wish to lay upon a church their authority, not authorized by the Bible. I'm a pastor. That means leader, a pastor, one who leads. But it does not mean that I am your potentate. You have individual soul liberty, amen? Thank God for leadership. Thank God for followership. But it needs to be under the guidance, of course, of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But biblical authority. There is no other text whereby we lay credence. We do not accept on the same level of the Bible any other writings. Now, I believe in there being some very good books. I have a library of books. Some of them are good. Some of them probably could go to the garbage can. But many authors that have written things throughout the years. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said that the world itself couldn't contain the books that could be written about him. And it's interesting to see how many thousands, millions of books really that have been written. But there's no other text. We don't look at that book and say, hey, this is what we're going to follow. We don't do that. We don't look at some man's writings and say, this is what we're going to follow. It's the Word of God. And it's how we, well, it's just what we believe. Amen. Now, when we look at the Word of God, sometimes we can have different opinions, can't we? And all of us are at different maturity levels. All of us have different experiences. So we come to the Word of God. Sometimes it's hard to see something that somebody else sees. But it's always good for us to listen carefully and to allow God to work in our hearts concerning those things. Now, I want this morning to take the last portion of this class and talk about six truths. Whenever you tell people that you have more than 3 points, they get scared. But church don't start till 11 o'clock, no matter what we do. But I will not really be long with each of these. But there are six truths concerning God's Word that make it so authoritative. Things we look at and we say, this is the Bible. We are going to listen to it. I'm not even going to get into the issue of text this morning. I'm not going to get into the issue of versions. I do believe in the King James Version as that which has been inspired, not inspired, but preserved by God. And a lot is involved in that. But I will say this, words are important. And when somebody starts changing words to make a new version, they are walking on very dangerous ground. Let's stop and look at these, though, for a few moments. God promises, number one, that His Word will stand forever. His Word will stand forever. Now, you and I, we might make some sort of statement, and we've got to back up on it. Sometimes we've got to apologize. Sometimes we've got to eat our words, so to speak. But God never does. His Word is true when it comes forth, and it will stand forever. Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 8, says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. So, when we look at the Bible, we believe it's eternal. Does that make it authoritative? It's something we can count on day after day after day after day. And we know man's laws, one day they're good, the next day they're not. I mean, the law that says you can't tie your horse anywhere but the hitching post doesn't make a whole lot of sense today, does it? You won't find a hitching post. You won't find people riding horses. By the way, it's illegal to own a horse inside the city limits of Council Bluffs. Unless you got so many feet between you and all your neighbors, nobody complains about the smell. But you can have 10,000 dogs. Anyway, God promises that His Word will stand forever. Number two, I love this. God promises that His Word can make you clean. God promises that. In the book of John chapter 15, it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you're clean through the word. Sometimes people say, well, man, I read it and I reread it and I reread it and I can't remember it. But there's something that takes place you might not understand. God, though you might not be remembering, is cleansing you through it. And it's a neat process. You say, how does He do that? Well, when you read it and you see what needs to take place in your life, you might not remember or understand exactly what all it says, but God in His magnificent being makes those things into our lives. It cleanses us, makes us clean. And praise the Lord for that. Do we need cleansing? Hello. Yeah. Alrighty. I'm only on number two, so don't go to sleep yet. My goodness. Hang in there. You listen, there's a prize at the end. There's a quiet prize, and you just lost. Anyway, how many of you ever had a class and you had a quiet seat? We used to do that, okay? And if a student was quiet the whole time, problem was very rarely could find a seat that matched somebody. Anyways, another thing. Number three, God promises blessings to those who hear and keep it. God promises blessings. By the way, what's a blessing? It's something that makes us happy. And God says if we will listen and we keep it, he will bless us. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, but he said, yea, rather blessed. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Matter of fact, you go to the book of Revelation, and you're going to find out that God says that a person who reads that book will be blessed. How many of you folks read the book of Revelation and say, I'm confused? Because there's things in there that's very difficult to understand, but God said there'd be a blessing in it. Some way, somehow, God blesses our hearts, even though we may not understand all of it. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you blessed by light in this room today? Do you understand the electricity that's flowing through the light bulbs above, how all that works together? By the way, one of these days they promise us that we're all going to have electric cars. And guess what electricity is made from? Coal. Guess what batteries are made out of? Lead. What do you got to do? You got to mine for both of those things. I just find all that interesting. It's like we're going to plug it into a tree and it's going to work. Oh. Whatever. Just give me a Camaro with a 427. I'll be happy. Really? You learned the math. I'll be happy with second best, all right? Number four, and perhaps most importantly, God promises blessings only to those who accept his word as authoritative. In other words, we come to the word of God, we say, this is my authority. This is what guides my life. This is the things that the Lord says is how I'm going to live my life. If he says walk on roses, I'm going to walk on roses. And if God leads us through his word. By the way, he doesn't tell us that, but I think it's more like thorns. But anyways, we find that God blesses us. In the book of 1 Samuel, this interesting verse. And this verse is just after King Saul, he had been told by God to go and destroy the Amalekites, every one of them. And you say, why would God do that? Actually, it was punishment for the sin that they committed against Israel many, many years prior to that, when Israel was coming from Egypt into the promised land. And so now God's going to take care of this thing, and Saul has been chosen to do it. But Saul doesn't do it. I want you to listen to what it says. By the way, Saul, they killed most of them, but not all of them. They eliminated most of the animals, but those many others they brought back as sacrifices. So listen to what it says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Would you say that rebellion's on a pretty stiff position when it talks about it being like witchcraft and like idolatry? I would. Now it goes on and says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He's basically said, Saul, you've been rebellious, you rejected my word, and as a result of that, I reject you from being the king of Israel. And because he would not accept the word of God as authoritative, I mean in complete detail, he would not accept it, God rejects him. So what that teaching me? God wants us to understand his word is our authority. This is no news to most of us here this morning, but it's good for us to hear it and understand it and revel in the fact that we have a guidebook. Amen? How many of you, you get something new and you open it up and you say, oh, I know how to do this, and you start to put it together and you've got a mess after a bit. How many would admit you've done that? The rest of you have never done anything, I guess. We do that. If you open up a package, let's say something as simple as some shelving, it might be a good idea to read the instructions. Because part A goes with part A, not with part B. Okay? And so that little piece of paper becomes your authority on how to operate in putting that piece of furniture together. Yesterday, I received in the mail new, I don't know if they call them Google Pads. I don't know what they call them. Francis, what do they call those crazy things? Where's he at? Huh? It's the one you recommended. I don't know what that thing is. Huh?
A Chromebook.
Okay, Chrome belongs on the side of a car, so I never could figure that out. Okay, so I got this, and I open it up, and I think, oh, I know how to do this. But I saw that there was this quick, easy startup method, and I saw there was four steps. I thought, Springer, you better look at that. And so I looked at that, and step number one, plug it in. There's a reason for that. Because most of them had dead batteries at that point. And step number two, open the lid. And there was really only four steps, and then a screen comes up, tells me the rest of the things to do. So I follow those instructions. They were my authority. If I wouldn't have followed those instructions, I would have a Chromebook sitting over there that was all fouled up. And Francis only knows I can foul them up really good. So we look at the Bible and what is it? It's authority. And we follow it as that. Number five, God promises that if we continue in his word, we will know the truth. And what do we know about the truth? The truth shall set us free. John 8, 31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Interesting there, if we continue in his word. Listen, if you don't continue his word, it's not going to make you free because you don't know the truth. And so the word of God gives us truth. And that truth will set us free. Now I realize there's a lot of different people who will quote portion of that verse and apply it. And there are people in the world, but it came from the word of God. And listen, if we will do it, it will set us free. Free from our sin, free from worry, free from so many things. And number six, God promises that he will judge us with the same word by which we are to live. in John 12:48 says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And so that Bible that you have, it is that standard by which God is going to judge us. And it will find us, if we're not saved, it will find us guilty. Just very, very simple. It will find us guilty. Well, biblical authority, that is one of our distinctives. Nothing else. Nothing else. What does the Bible say? When you come to church, I hope you come with the realization or the thought, I want to know the truth that God has. We sit down and read our Bible. I hope it says we're seeking after the truth that God has for us. Amen. But love this book. Love it with all of your heart. Amen. Thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. I pray, oh God, that we might see, revel in the fact that we have an authority in the Word of God that's eternal. It is that which can set us free. It is that which can bless us and strengthen us. It's that which can guide us through all the circumstances of life, the many principles that it shares with us on how to live. Lord, we're thankful for the words that teach us of salvation, the words that teach us that you are our sanctifier, that you are the one who answers our prayers, and we just thank you for all of these things. We ask for your blessing, the hour to follow. Glorify yourself, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.